go to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Be reading 4 or 5 different passages of Scripture, one verse in each. So I'll direct you where to go. We'll read everything in unison this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, we'll be reading verse number 24 in this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, and we'll read in verse number 24. If you'll read it with me, Deuteronomy 4, 24. Begin. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Go over one chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and verse number 9. Deuteronomy 5, 9, ready? Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, if you'll go over another chapter, chapter number 6, we'll be reading verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 15. Ready? For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now go to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. We'll read the last passage of Scripture. Joshua, chapter 24, verse number 19. Joshua, chapter 24, verse number 19. All right, read with me now. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we do thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and what you mean to us, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Now this morning, Lord, as we hear the truth that has been prepared for us, Lord, please speak to our hearts. Lord, do something special in our midst today, Lord. If there's one here that is lost and does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, may today be the day that they get saved. Lord, if someone here is hurting, Lord, may this morning be the morning they get encouraged. Please fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you for your attention and your minds this morning. I'm going to preach to you something that everybody in the room needs. You young people, I need you to look this way. I'll know you're listening when I see your face. When I see the top of your head, I know you're not paying attention. So I want your attention today. please, to those of you that have been in church a while, I don't need you to try to run ahead of me on a truth here, because I'm sure it's going to take a turn and you're going to go down the road a different way than I am. But I want to help you today. This truth may be a little confusing at first, but if you'll allow me time, allow me to use the scriptures accordingly, I think I can teach you something that will help you. Can I tell you something? The closer you get to God, the more truth makes sense to you. The farther away from God and truth you get, the less truth makes sense to you. The Bible is a perfect, flawless, living book.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Did you know the truths that were written 7,000 years ago are still true today?
Yes, sir.
So how's that be? Well, 2 plus 2 is still 4.
Yes.
Truth is truth. Now, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. I'll promise you, you say, well, man wrote the Bible. No, man didn't write the Bible. These are the words of God.
That's right.
Now, there are some versions out there that man has written, and I will show you contradictions. But to the English-speaking people, the King James Bible, there are no contradictions.
Amen.
And I will help you for a while here. In the Ten Commandments, and I've spent a little bit of extra time in our church on that. And one of these days I'll teach on the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments are civil law. It is like our Constitution. It was a government law. It had nothing to do with going to heaven. Did you know you could keep all 10 of the commandments and still die and go to hell? Just like you could keep all the traffic laws and still not be a good citizen. It is a matter of citizenry. It is not a matter of spirituality as far as the Ten Commandments go. But the Ten Commandments, which were civil law, teach us how to get along. God says in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 5, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, we read in verse number 9, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them in reference to any other god. Verse 8, thou shalt not take to thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, we read in Deuteronomy 4:24, we read in Deuteronomy 5:9, 6:15, Joshua 24, verse number 19, God says that he is a jealous God. Did you know then that jealousy is not necessarily sinful then? Because God can't sin. Now, I know this. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. This is where you're going to think God made a mistake. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 34. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 34. Are you ready? Proverbs 6, it's right after the book of Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs 6, 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts. God says that jealousy to man is rage. Anger that's out of control, a consuming fire. You need not turn there, but I'll read another verse to you. Romans chapter 10, verse number 19 says, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Now wait a minute. God said that he is jealous. But God then says jealousy, it becomes sinful to we human beings. God can be jealous, but to a sinful person, jealousy is sinful. Now, God is telling us then that it's okay to be jealous if you're not sinful. Now, listen to this very okay for a second. Is this a double standard? Is God saying that it's just okay for certain people to be jealous? Why is it okay for God to be jealous and not us? Well, first of all, God has not sinned. Second of all, God cannot sin. God has never done anything wrong. Can you imagine being the brother or sister of Jesus? Jesus never sinned while he was on earth. Can you imagine Jesus' brothers and sisters trying to say, well, Jesus did it, and Mary and Joseph knew he was the Son of God that was sinless? Yeah, right. We know who's lying in this situation. Wrong answer. Can you imagine how frustrating that would have been? You see, there is an appropriateness to jealousy. But let me say this. To those of us, and I'm including me, who are sinful, because we're sinful, there's not an appropriateness to jealousy. Sin corrupts jealousy. And because we're sinful, it corrupts our ability to be jealous appropriately. I need you listening to me, so make sure you're looking this way at me, or I'm going to embarrass you, and you would not like that. Now, let me explain how this happens. Let me show you what I mean by this. In marriage, the physical relationship between a man and a woman is perfectly right. That's when they're supposed to be. Now, if you're not married, keep your hands off and don't touch each other. That's what God said, not me. We're not supposed to be like a bunch of barnyard animals shacking up and sleeping around with everything that moves. In other words, and by the way, we're supposed to be with one person only our whole life. That's God's plan. And when it's done that way, God says it's right. Outside of marriage, we're not to be doing that. Then it's called fornication and adultery. Y'all understand that? Now, wait a minute. How can something that's right be wrong because it's done in the wrong timing or the wrong place or with the wrong people? In other words, the physical relationship between a man and a woman is right in the bounds of marriage, but anywhere outside of that, it is not right. Is that not what God said?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, watch this. That's not a double standard. In other words, there's a propriety to when that relationship is supposed to be, correct? Outside of that, it's improper. Now, jealousy is much the same way. The only way you can be jealous and it not be sinful is when you are sinless. In other words, we humans don't have a chance to be jealous sinlessly. But yet God said he is a jealous God. That must mean it's not sinful because God is not sinful. Every human is sinful. Therefore, for any of us to be jealous, it's not right. Let me explain. Jealousy is desiring or wanting something not currently in your possession that is yours. It's not just wanting something. It's wanting something that is yours. I'm not jealous of your car. I like my old beater truck. I'm not jealous of your house. I like where I live. I'm not jealous of any position you might hold. I like doing what God has me doing. Everybody doing okay with that? Jealousy is wanting something that's not currently in your possession. If you're married and you say, well, I wish you were more like this person's wife, that's not a good thing to say. You're jealous of what somebody else has. And you're going to get a frying pan upside your head real fast. Well, I wish, you tell your kids, I wish you'd act more like so-and-so's kids. That's not a good thing to do. Say why? They're your kids, not somebody else's. And probably if you had so-and-so's kids, you'd find out they're not as perfect as you think they are either. Now, say, well, what does God want? Well, let me first say this. God made everything. God owns everything. He made the world. He made everything in the world. He made the universe. Guess what? He has a right then to want that which is his. In other words, because he owns it all, it's not sinful for him to want it. Everybody doing okay? By the way, he didn't put it on Visa or MasterCard either. He paid the price. It's his. He didn't go get a bank loan. He paid for it before he ever made it. In other words, we humans get jealous and it's wrong because we want something that is not ours by ownership. That's when jealousy becomes sinful. These are things we desire. They might be objects. Oh, it's Christmas time. And you're seeing all the advertising that you want this TV, you want this phone, you want this watch, you want this toy, you want this electronic thing, you want, and we say to kids and to our grandkids and to whoever, what do you want for Christmas? In other words, what are you jealous for? Everybody doing okay? Okay, I just put a hole in Christmas already and hadn't even gotten here. There went all the air in the room. Some people get jealous about positions at work. Somebody else got the position at work you wanted, and now you're upset. That's jealousy. You wanted something that was not yours to have. You say, well, I'm more qualified. Okay, now your pride's kicking in. If you maybe were more qualified, maybe they would have chosen you. Maybe not. Maybe you don't work for a company that's got enough sense. But either way, getting jealous about it isn't going to fix the problem. Maybe it is power. Congress is jealous of power. That's why they're fighting the president. I'll say it again. You may not like what the president's doing, but I will tell you this. Say, why is he allowing all this to take place, preacher? He can't drain the swamp. The only people that can drain the swamp are the American voters. He is exposing the swamp so you know who to vote out of office. Everybody doing okay? All these people that are stalling everything in Congress are the ones that we need to get out of there. They don't need to be investigating the president. They need to be doing their job that we sent them there to do. Now, God is jealous, but God is not sinful. Maybe we should leave the jealousy up to God. You know, there are some people that want positions. And they get jealous. There are some people who are jealous for attention. Maybe there's more than one child in the family and somebody will act up to get attention, or somebody gets more attention they think than they get. Can I tell you something? We ought not be jealous for attention. Everybody doing all right? Maybe we need to quit wanting what is not ours and decide we're going to want what is ours. You see, God says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. He didn't say he'd give you what you want. He said he'd give you the right things to desire. Too many of us say, well, that means I want this, so God's got to give it to me. No, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the right things to desire. My family will tell you, they hate buying anything for me at any time because they'll say, what do you want? Standard answer, nothing. I like what I have. There's not anything you could buy me or get me that I want other than let's just spend time together. Let's be at God's house together. Say, preacher, what should we get you for Christmas? Everybody grab somebody, bring them to church with you and be here. That's what I want. I want things. I don't have a desire to be in a position anywhere else. I got to be at Brother Fugit's church on Wednesday night and see Brother Fugit at church and talk to him for a few moments. And my family knows this. When I travel, I try to slide in and slide out. I'm not one of those people that walks in the door going, I'm here. I go in, I sit down. But it gets busy around me because a lot of people know me. That sometimes is good, that sometimes is not good. I was at Brother Fugit's. I spent a few moments with him in his office, his trailer, before church. They've built a temporary building, and his office is a trailer. He said, preacher, I'm sorry about your my temporary office here. I said, well, at least yours isn't a little blue hut like I had, or a green hut like I had at mine. That little one that sat back over here, it was called a porta-john. Amen. That would have been the equivalent, but he's got a little travel trailer that they've turned into an office for him. Can I tell you something? I was there, but I wasn't wanting his building. You say, why? He's got 80 acres, and he starts phase two on Tuesday. They're getting ready to build another building. You think I'm envious of that, jealous of that? Mm-mm, I'm done for right now. They're trying to sell one property. He's got millions and millions and millions of dollars that he's dealing with right now. You think I'm jealous of that? I'm happy right where I'm at. I don't want the traffic mess they got. I don't want the hassle they have. I've got enough hassle here. I don't need to add to it. I got Jefferson County mad at me because I put a shed up without a building permit, and I didn't even build it. I just plopped it there. It's unplopped. Amen? And we plopped it somewhere else. Now, wait a minute. Jealousy doesn't do you any good because you're wanting something that is not yours to have. But God owns it all. Say, why is God jealous? Because he made you. He made the world. He made everything that is, and he just wants that which is his. Brother Stansberry, I love you. You're my friend. But I don't want your family. I want my family. I raised three kids. I don't need any more. Praise the Lord. Now, he's got a passel full, and I'm happy for him. Pastor friend of mine, Brother Drillyard up in Maine, his little baby's starting to babble and sit up and make all kinds of noises, and he sends me a video this morning of his little, she's probably 6 months old, sitting in a high chair, reading a book, you know, just happy as can be. He said, see what I got to put up with? I said, yeah, but wait about 12, 13, 14, 15 years, and let me find out what videos you send to me then. He said, it'll probably be an exorcism of me casting out devils. I said, yeah, especially if it's a bad hair day because he's got three girls. God bless you. Now, wait a minute. I was happy for him. I said, I'm really glad it's you. I'm glad my youngest is getting married in June. You say, why? I decided a long time ago I was going to enjoy every stage of life. I'm not jealous to go back and live my younger years. You say, why? I made way too many mistakes. I make too many now. I don't need to go back and make them again. So yeah, but if you went back, you know what to do, and you wouldn't do it again. If I went back, I wouldn't know any more than I know now. Besides, everything is different now than it was then. So I probably would make the same amount of mistakes, just a different way. Let me give you a few thoughts here, and we'll be done. Number one, God gave us dominion over the earth, not people. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. God gave us dominion over the earth, not people. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 27. By the way, Brother Scott, that's about the second page of your Bible. All right? At least he has his, Adriana. All right, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And he created it. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Wow. Now watch this. God says to have dominion. The word dominion means dominance. Now watch this. God gave us dominance over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. He did not give us dominion over each other. Jealousy comes in when we try to have dominion over someone else. Now watch this. God did not give us dominion or power over other humans. I think there's a power company in Maryland, in the Virginia. What's it called?
Dominion,
yeah, Dominion Power or Dominion Virginia or whatever, Virginia Dominion. It means power. It's a biblical word. It's the word dominion, the word power. When man sinned, the same sin as Satan, we became jealous of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We were just in Genesis. Duh. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Watch this. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan said. Satan said he was jealous of what God had, and he wanted what God had. Did you know in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came to man and woman in the Garden of Eden and said, look, you could be like God, knowing good and evil. You could choose right and wrong for yourself if you just eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And since the moment man sinned, by the way, guess who was influencing man's decision? Satan, the one who had already sinned and been cast to hell. Watch this. We sinned the very same sin that Satan sinned. And we forfeited our ability to be jealous because we sinned. When we get to heaven, we become joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. We then will inherit everything that is, and then we can be jealous and it won't be sinful. We'll lose our sin nature.
Amen.
But God did not give us dominion over each other. That's why he had to give us the Ten Commandments, to show us how to rule each other. He said, I'm jealous because you should be following me without sin. I am a jealous God. I made you for a specific purpose. Just as Satan wants God's power and authority and dominion, we, because of sin, want that same power over each other. We want to play God to each other. Look what's happening in American politics. We have people wanting to play God. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think people ought to abuse animals. But when Congress can pass a law that if you abuse a puppy dog or a kitty cat, it's a felony offense, but the United States government allows us to murder over 1 million babies by abortion every year, something's wrong.
Amen. Right.
Something is wrong. Folks, marijuana shouldn't be legalized. By the way, alcohol shouldn't be legalized. But the government makes a lot of money off of it, and that's why they're doing it. You see, look what's happening in world politics. Look what's happening in globalism. By the way, that's the precursor to the Antichrist. You're hearing the term globalism and globalists. That is the precursor to a one-world government. Everybody doing okay? Just keep looking up. It's coming. Sooner than you think. So God gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. God gave us the ability to lead and control animals, but we are not supposed to lead and control each other. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to prick, especially you younger generation, and you young people that are still in school. Listen to me very carefully here. Evolution is a religion. It's not a science. Evolution has brought man down to being an animal. Man is not a mammal. You can't go to the pasture and pull blood out of a cow and put it in your veins and live.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Man is not an animal. Education and the evolutionists have to make people into animals so they can dominate them. That's why communist countries hold on to the religion of evolution since it came about. It explains away God puts man into the category of an animal, and the leadership then says, you have to do what I say. Because you're no different than your puppy dog. Evolution is a satanic religion.
Right.
It tries to explain away God. Evolution causes man to want man to dominate man. That's what this climate control people are. You know, the climate change. Oh, we have to be careful. If our temperature goes up another 0.3 degrees centigrade, the Antarctic shelf is going to break. And the oceans are going to rise at least another 10 feet. Well, that breaks every premise of science. Did you know if you fill a glass with ice, fill it the rest of the way with water, that the glass will never overflow? I don't care how much ice breaks off of Antarctica or the Arctic Circle or anywhere else, the oceans will not change level at all because it's still all floating in the water.
Amen.
It is scientifically impossible for the oceans to rise because of the Arctic ice. Everybody doing okay? These people are trying to alarm you. You read one article, everything's warming up. You read two weeks ago, they were talking about a potential mini ice age because the temperatures are dropping so much. They don't even agree with each other. You say, why? Because they're trying to keep everybody confused. We have to have the tragedy of the week or the month to keep everybody scared under domination. That's what the news media is trying to do. That's why in the news media, they show you all the murders. They show you all the potential people who have done wrong things. They tell you they're guilty, but they haven't been to court yet. That's what socialism is all about. Well, everybody needs to be the same. It's not fair that somebody has more money than you. Isn't it amazing? Bernie Sanders is a multimillionaire, and he believes everybody ought to have the same, except he's not going to give up his money. Nancy Pelosi's not letting the homeless live in her front yard that's walled. And she's worth about $40 million. She's not forking over any of it to help the homeless. Everybody doing okay? Communism is the same way. So, God gave man dominance over fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. That's why places like SeaWorld and some of the zoos and things, that they're able to train animals to do certain things. That's what man was supposed to do. And by the way, oil is not a fossil fuel. Oil is produced from the heart of the earth that flows up into the near enough to where we can get it. Animals didn't live miles and miles and miles underground.
Amen.
Your body doesn't turn to oil.
Right.
I don't care what you do to it. You can't get a dead body to turn into oil, whether it be human body or an animal body.
Amen.
It turns to dirt, not to oil. Scientifically impossible for it to turn into anything. And plants turn into dirt.
Right.
They don't turn to oil. You say, well, you got to put it under enough pressure, enough heat. It'll burn up and turn to dirt. The earth produces the oil necessary to sustain man and life.
Amen.
God made it that way. Number two, I got to hurry. Because man is sinful and jealousy is a godly trait, when man gets jealous, he's trying to be God. Let me say that again. Because man is sinful and jealousy is godly, when man gets jealous, he's trying to be God. That's why Exodus 20, verse number 3 through 5, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 9, God said, don't worship any other creature so that you have the dominance over it. I am the one that's supposed to be worshipped, not them. Now, everybody look at me. I'm going to teach you something. Worship is not what you're doing right now. Going to church is not worship.
That's right.
Pay attention this way.
Right.
Worship is when you tell God how great he is, how wonderful, how powerful, how majestic he is. When you take time and adore God and kind of love on him a little bit, that's what worship is. This is not public worship. You won't find one public worship service anywhere from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22.
Right.
It's not there. This is not public worship. Well, we'll sing. Singing could be worship, but it doesn't mean that it is. It could be praise. Could be thankfulness. Worship is when you, one-on-one, tell God how good he is. When we get jealous, we want others to tell us how good we are. And we want to rob God's goodness. Did you see what I did? That's jealousy. And because we're sinful, we want to steal God's praise. We want to steal his worship. Everybody doing okay? God says we're not supposed to worship anyone but him. Let me say this. That means we're not supposed to worship another man, including ourselves. When you desire the worship, the praise, the adoration that God should get, God says you've become a false god to yourself. Everybody doing okay? We want success so that we can have power over people. We're not to have dominion over people. We're to have success to show how good God is, not to have power over people. You know what makes Dr. Russell Anderson unique? He didn't want power over people. He wanted to show how good God is. Maybe that's why God turned him into the success he became. We can look at marriage as being a power over a husband or over a wife or over children. But God says marriage is two coming together to be one, and there's not supposed to be jealousy. Do you know I am not to be jealous over my wife, nor she over me, with our influence in our marriage or with our children? I thank God for my wife. You do too. I thank God my children have a great relationship with their mother. And I'm not jealous of it. I was sitting in church Wednesday night. I sat here. My wife sat here. My son Jeff sat there. Mindy sat beside him. We had just sung the first song, sat down. Preacher got done praying, and I felt something hit my left shoulder. I looked over, and that cotton picker had put his arm around my wife already. My son had reached around and grabbed a hold of his mama. I thought to myself, either I can get jealous or I can be thankful that he loves his mama that much. I say, what'd you do? After church, I told him to keep his hands off my wife. We laughed about it for a moment. And then I put my arm around him and I said, thanks for loving your mama like that. You know, I'm not supposed to be jealous of that. I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Just like my wife wasn't jealous when my daughter came over and she said, Mom, can you move over so I can sit by Dad? You get to sit by him all the time. I don't have him very long. There were words said between them, kind ones, in jest. And my wife moved over and my daughter sat down. And I looked at Michael and said, nah, 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 nah. He said, you didn't do that. Yeah, I did. I wanted him jealous, not me. Now, wait a minute. Marriage, listen to this. Men, if you try to dominate your wife and you become jealous of her and her time, guess what? You've sinned. Because you're supposed to be one, not two individuals. Well, I got to find out where she is. I got to find out what she's doing. I don't want my child to love her more than they love me. Don't worry, it balances out eventually. Quit being jealous of it and work together. The more my wife succeeds, the more I succeed. The more I succeed, the more my wife succeeds. Because we two are one. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I'm not to be jealous of my wife's abilities. Thank God for her. Because she does things I have no desire to do. And she's thankful for some of my abilities. I told her last night, I said, honey, I know it's been a hectic week. Been a little bit dirty. Two deer hanging in your garage. Doesn't always smell the best, especially during rut. Amen, Brother Larry? Stinky old bucks hanging there. And I said, I know it's a little bit of an inconvenience. She said, yeah, but I like the results of it, so it's okay. I said, many of people would complain about it. She said, no, I like eating it, and I understand the purpose of it. No, I don't want to do it all, but I'm glad you do, and we get to enjoy it the rest of the year. She said, but I am glad it only comes once a year. I get that. Can I tell you something? That's the way it's supposed to work. Not being all fussy and complaining about it. When we think outside of our own area of rule, we begin to get jealous. At work, when you start complaining about what everybody else does, you're jealous to be the boss. Well, if I were the boss, I would do... Oh, that's a dangerous statement. You're living on the edge. You might think you might do that, but you don't know everything that your boss knows. Well, I work for myself. Yeah, and you even struggle with that employee too. Yeah, buddy. In other words, we ought not be jealous for a position at work. Did you know you ought not be jealous at home? Good night. When my kids were little, my wife had far more influence over the children, and you ought to be glad. Somebody will say, oh, aren't you impressed with your kids, preacher? And I always say, thank God they had a good mother. Because if it were up to me, I probably would have killed all three of them and been in jail. Thank God they had a good mother that was patient with them and taught me to be patient so I didn't kill them. You say, why? Because they're too much like me. Children, did you know you're not supposed to be jealous of a brother or sister? Well, I want to do what they're doing. In other words, you want to play God. I know people that get jealous over positions at church. Brother Scott just got brought on to the deacon board, and somebody could get upset. Well, I wanted to be a deacon. Well, hang on. If you feel that way and you get upset about it, it proved we chose the right person and not you. Sorry. I want for you to be a deacon too someday. But let's take time and grow into it. There are some qualifications you got to meet before you become deacon. Start living those and maybe we'll get you there. Everybody doing okay? When without being asked your opinion, you make statements like, if it were me, I would do this. That's jealousy and you wanting to tell somebody how to do something. And it's not your area to tell them. Do you know I don't tell my wife how to cook things? That's not my area. My area is sucking it down the pie hole area, amen? I didn't tell my daughter how to make things. I just sucked it down. It may or may not have been the way I did it. Doesn't matter. She did it. I didn't get food poisoning and I was happy. If you make statements like, I've done that, but you need to do it this way. Unless they asked you your opinion, keep it to yourself because you're jealous and you want power over them. We want things done our way, in our timing, and with the way we would do it because we want to play God. Did you know there's more than one way to do most everything? I know of only one thing in the world, there's only one way to do it, and that's get saved. Point number three. Satan has influenced religion to be jealous of God, and religion now tries to take the place of God. This is where things are going to hit the road a little hard. Are you ready? Matter of fact, it's going to be a pothole for some. When man tries to earn his own salvation by his own good works, he's trying to take God's place. Romans chapter 10, let me read some verses to you. You need not turn there. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Watch this. When religion says, well, you have to live so much good, and hopefully your good outweighs your bad, you are trying to play God. I talked to a man just a week or so ago. He said, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I said, well, what are you trusting to get you there? He said, well, I'm hoping I've done enough good. I said, oh, in other words, you're hoping your good outweighs your bad, right? He said, yes, sir. I said, are you a sinner? He said, oh, yeah. I said, guess what? It won't get you there. I said, let me ask you a question, sir. If you could get to heaven by your good works, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? He said, now that's a question I don't have an answer for. I said, that's okay, I got it. I opened up my Bible and showed that man how he could trust Jesus Christ as a Savior, and he did. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Jesus already paid the price. So for you to try to earn it on your own, guess what? You're jealous of God and you're trying to play God. You're trying to be your own God. You're trying to get to heaven your own way. Bible says that was gone in the way of Cain. Cain was supposed to bring a blood sacrifice. He brought a plant sacrifice, and God says, I don't have respect for that. That's not what I asked for. And he said, too bad, God, if you don't like it. God said, Cain, I've got an animal crouched ready to jump into your arms. Open the door and it'll jump in your arms and I'll be satisfied. He said, if you don't like what I have, too bad. That's the way most people are on the face of the earth. They tell God, doesn't matter what Jesus did. They're going to try to do it their own way. They're going to get baptized to get it. They're going to get confirmed by the church to get it. Man dressing up in priestly garb, playing the Pope, is man jealous of God's power. Man cannot forgive your sin. God forgives sin. Man can't speak ex cathedra in the place of God. Only God can speak for himself. That's why he gave us the word of God. Man can't take your sin at confession and take it upon himself as a priest and say, you're forgiven. Now give this much money and say these number of Hail Marys and everything will be forgiven. Doesn't take place. I don't care how badly you would like me to take your sin. I cannot. Jesus took it upon himself. You trying to earn your own salvations mean you're trying to do what Jesus already did. Did you hear that? You trying to get to heaven your way means you're trying to do what Jesus already did. We don't have the power to earn our own salvation because we're sinners. We need to give our jealousy of our own religion back to God and trust what he did to get us there, not trust ourselves. Man's jealousy turns to anger because he wants what is not his to have, and he gets angry because he's not God. I didn't say it, God did. Proverbs 6:34. Did you know that people get upset at preaching like what I just did? Because it pricks at them because they've heard religion. They've heard religious things. But can I tell you something? Jesus didn't have much good to say about religion. Let's give God what is his. Let's let God be jealous. God made you to fellowship with you. But if you've never been born again, you don't have the ability to fellowship with him. You can try. But can I tell you something? You don't have the ability to fellowship with him because you're not born of God. He came to buy you back so that you could be restored with the Father, and yet you reject what he has and you get mad at him because he doesn't give you what you want. Well, if you get born again and you'd obey him, that's all he wants.
Yes, sir.
Then he has the ability to bless you in ways that you'd like to be blessed. We don't need new methods. We don't need new styles. We don't need new words of God. We don't need new meanings for words of God. We just need to get back to what God said and obey it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I have more to say, but I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll just take a moment here. But I wonder, would you be honest with yourself for a moment and be honest with me? Just you and me. Say, preacher, if I die today, I know, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Some hands could go up, and I appreciate that. Just as I did not embarrass those, I will not embarrass you. So you say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know how that I could do it. By the way, in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, you could know for sure. It's not some ritual. It's not some weird experience. It's just trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know someday. Would you raise your hand? All right, somebody else. All right, you say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed today. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, if you said, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you'd like to know, Brother Josh will be standing right down front here. He'll be able to take somebody. He'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. Maybe just come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and get some things right with the Lord. That's what it's all about. Don't be afraid to come. You won't be by yourself. I can promise you that.